Boys and girls are so special, aren't they? And sometimes we get a little bit exasperated. Anybody ever get a little bit exasperated? Just a little bit? Yes. But, you know, we ask the Lord to help us, to love them, to teach them, and to show them what love is all about. And when they grow up, they might be just like us. Oh, I'm not sure about that one. But we'll do our best to love one another and to love our boys and girls. We're looking this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're reading the first 9 verses, and then we'll be reading 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25. First of all, John 14, 1 to 9. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you can always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had already known me, you would know also my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to us, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might prepare our hearts to receive the communion elements in thanksgiving of all that you have done for us. Hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a favorite photograph of your parents? Is the photograph a snapshot that was taken when they weren't expecting it to be taken? Or is it a portrait that they sat for, taken by a professional photographer? Is your favorite photograph also one your parents would prefer you have? Or would they prefer that you didn't have? I know my daughter doesn't want to have her photograph taken. And she would just assume that nobody ever took her picture. Well, we have some of her pictures, and I know that she would rather not have them on display, but we want them, and we've got them. Photographs help us to preserve the memory of the one that we love. They recall pleasant memories and bring delight to the heart as we look at them. I suspect that some of you may have hundreds or thousands of photographs. We have a whole book of photographs, picture stories that help us to look to our Lord Jesus Christ. What is your favorite photograph of yourself? Is it a serious pose? Or is it some sort of action picture? The New Testament can be studied as a picture album. It contains many verbal pictures of God as he has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. We want to look at four pictures this morning. The first one is Christ on the Mount. One of the most beautiful pictures of Christ to be found in scriptures is to see him sitting on the crest of the mountain with his disciples about him. Here he taught them the principles and the characteristics of being ideal citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But also, they are available to be lived in this light. This picture of Christ should be preserved in our memory in order that we might recognize the importance of following his teachings. As we read through the Gospels, I'm sure we all have many pictures of what he is trying to teach us. And so we look and we see and we learn. The second picture that we look at this morning is Christ on the ship. This is another beautiful picture of Christ that we should hang on the walls of our memory. And it's that of him in the boat with his disciples when the storm beat down upon them. We see Christ as he stood. With sovereign power, he rebuked the winds and commanded the waves of the sea to be quiet. Even his followers couldn't fathom this. But this was Jesus. This was their Christ. This memory of Christ can give us peace and poise as we face the storms that will sweep into our hearts and lives from time to time. Read God's Word. Pull out the pictures, and it will help you to remember the story that Jesus taught. And then the third picture that we want to look at this morning, ever so briefly, is Christ in Bethany. Jesus loved to go to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They treated him as an honored guest. And he was treated by them as an honored guest. They were a blessing to him, to them. He was a blessing to them, and they were a blessing to him. We find him coming to them in an hour of sorrow when death had invaded the family circle. With sovereign power that was frightening, he commanded the dead to rise, and Lazarus came forth from the tomb. Even after 4 days, Jesus was in control. Jesus knew what to do. We need to treasure this memory of the Savior if we want assurance that death is a defeated foe and that the grave will have no victory over us. Follow him. Allow him to minister to you. And the fourth photograph that we want to look at this morning is Christ on the cross. Of all the pictures the New Testament continues to show us is the one concerning the Christ. This is the picture that he would have us turn to more than any others. We know this because he instituted the Lord's Supper and commanded, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Because his heart was filled with infinite and indescribable love for us, we can be assured that his motive was not selfish for wanting to recall this memory to our mind's eye, but rather he was trying to meet the deepest needs of our lives. He does that. Sometimes we don't listen, but sometimes we do, and we are so blessed that God would speak to us. Christ would remind us that sin is our deadly enemy, and that God at any price would deliver us from anything that would ruin our lives. And all we have to do is ask him. Oh, he wants to do all of those things that would help us to draw close to him, to be what he wants us to be. Christ would remind us of the self-giving love of God for people, which is beyond our human ability to comprehend. But yet, as we read God's word and listen to what God has to say to us, we are drawn closer to him. Our suffering Savior was thus seeking to convince us once and for all, and yet repeatedly, that all the purposes of God toward us are motivated by love and by grace. What a great God we serve. By inspired imagination, hang this picture of our suffering Savior on the wall of your memory. Meditate on God's love for you and respond with love and faith and obedience to him. Take a few moments of quiet meditation now, responding to God's call for you to follow him, allowing him to control your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege that is ours to sit at this your table and to receive the blessings that come to us. Help us, O God, that we will be faithful in allowing you to minister to us, even in this service. May we seek your forgiveness of sins that we have committed, whether they are sins that we remember or sins we don't remember. Help us to seek your forgiveness, to draw close to you and allow you to have full access to our hearts and minds. Bless us now as we partake in the communion service. And may we allow you to have full access to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.